Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Hi, everybody. This is Austin, and I will be reading a few articles from the Arapahoe County News today. Centennial, Colorado. Metro. Representative Crow urges PAC town hall to combat fear and division with bipartisan muscle. Quote, I don't do fear, and neither should you, quote, Crow declared. Quote, together we are stronger than they will ever be, quote. Written by Cassandra Ballard, Centennial staff writer, February 28, 2025. There are three ads off to the right-hand side of the page. First ad, sharing the love, win free lift tickets, click to enter. No purchase necessary, must be 18 to win. Drawings held on Thursdays through March 19th, 2025. Loveland Ski Area. There is a woman in snow attire with her hands in a heart shaped with mountains in the background. The second ad, Centennial Spring Forward, win free lift tickets, click to enter. No purchase necessary, must be 18 to win. Drawings held on Thursdays through March 19th, 2025. Loveland Ski Area. There is a person snowboarding with mountains in the background. The third ad, Mountain View Baptist Church, Repent and Believe John, 3:16. Be our guest this Sunday. Sunday service, 11 a.m., Century Elementary School, 2500 South Granby Way, Aurora, Colorado. There is blue mountains drawn with an orange sunset in the background. Congressperson Jason Crow, Democrat-Aurora, talks to about 1,500 people during a town hall meeting February 27, 2025 at Hinckley High School. Photo via Congressman Jason Crow's office. There is a picture of Jason standing on a stage with a microphone and a projector behind him showcasing a slide. Alongside that is an American flag and the Colorado state flag. Aurora. At the biggest town hall meeting in his congressional tenure, Representative Jason Crow told a packed high school auditorium that the nation is at a, quote, crossroads, end quote. The Aurora Democrat said he doesn't, quote, pull his punches, quote, but at the time of chaos spilling out of the Trump White House, he said he chooses bipartisanship as both an offense and defensive tactic, quote, I believe that the antidote to those who want to tear and destroy is to build, end quote, Crow said. Crow, who frequently says he established a reputation as one of the most bipartisan members of Congress, said he is still committed to finding common ground. Quote, I will always look for opportunities to build and to work together, end quote, he said. Quote, but if somebody threatens this community, tries to take their job, tries to deport our law-abiding friends and neighbors, I will fight them with every ounce I have, end quote. Crow's words were met Thursday night with thunderous applause and a standing ovation from the nearly 1,500 people attending the meeting at Hinckley High School. Quote, as imperfect as our country sometimes can be, and as unfulfilled as that promise of the more perfect union is, I still love this country for what we can be and what we are at our best moments when we fulfill our highest ideal, end quote, Crow said. The sold-out event was marked by a palpable audience energy as Crow addressed a range of issues, from veterans' health care to immigration reform. Janice Gibson said she was concerned about the new Department of Government efficiency, asking what could be done to limit its power. Quote, Elon Musk is one of the largest government contractors and defense contractors in our country, end quote, he said. Quote, you have the fox guarding the hen house, end quote. As the minority political party in the House, which he said makes it harder, even impossible, to make decisions, the Democratic Party is currently working to pass a bill to prevent, quote, unfettered unauthorized access to information into systems, end quote. Quote, we're going to hold people accountable, end quote, Crow said. Quote, even if it can be hard to pass something, we're going to do it anyhow. We're going to force them to say no, end quote. About 1,500 people turned out to hear Congressperson Jason Crow, Democrat Aurora, during a town hall meeting February 27th, 2025 at Hinckley High School. Photo by Cassandra Ballard. There is an image showing the auditorium that is full of people. Crow accused the members of the Trump administration of either trying to line their own pockets, pursue vengeance against their perceived political enemies, or some combination. Quote, "They've wrapped it in the cloak of government reform and efficiency and try to legitimize it," quote, Crow said. Quote, "I actually am also a government reformer. My job is not to defend agencies and government action. My job literally is to hold government agencies accountable, to push for transparency, to push for reform. That actually is my job," end quote. He said he does agree that the government works too slowly when it comes to infrastructure like roads and electric vehicle charging stations, but the farcical DOGE is not the answer. The real answer, he said, is a good government that should be honest about what is working and not working and develop a community consensus to make it faster and more efficient. Beth Edwards asked about the economic impacts of the Trump administration's actions on average Americans. Quote, "The impact is pretty bad," end quote, Crow said. Quote, "It will get much worse if they continue down this path," end quote. "For an administration that promised lower prices, everything is still too expensive," Crow said. Quote, "Two of the fastest ways to increase costs in our economy is to impose broad-based tariffs and then threaten to deport mass swaths of our workforce," end quote, Crow said. Quote, "You want to see costs go up? We're about to see costs go up," end quote. As far as approved government spending goes, Crow said that there is already the Empowerment Control Act. Quote, "If Congress authorizes and appropriates funding for a purpose, the president, whether that person is a Republican or Democrat, has to spend money for that purpose," end quote, Crow said. Quote, "That's not discretion. That is one of our most important tools right now because the president is refusing to do that in violation of that law. So that's why right now, as we go through the budgeting process, our biggest leverage," end quote. Congressperson Jason Crow, Democrat Aurora, talks to about 1,500 people during a town hall meeting February 27, 2025 at Hinckley High School. Photo by Cassandra Ballard. There is an image above with Jason standing on the stage and there is a front row of people watching Jason as he talks. Gary Robbins asked Crow what he would do to save U.S. Agency for International Development, targeted for closure by the Trump administration from the first day the president took office. Crow said that as someone who has been to war three times, wars have cost the United States trillions of dollars, along with thousands of American lives. Quote, "The best way to preserve peace and security is to prevent a war in the first instance," end quote, Crow said. Quote, "We need more diplomacy and more engagement around the world so we don't have to enter an era of an extreme conflict, which going down this road where Donald Trump is leading us is where we will be. Where autocrats and dictators and the strong and powerful feel like they can take the weak with no check," end quote. Crow called on his constituents to think about how they and he could perceive the structures in institutions and how to keep government talent engaged so those systems can be rebuilt. Quote, "I'm very afraid we're going to lose a lifetime of talent in our pipeline," end quote, Crow said. Quote, "In the meantime, I will fight with the votes that we have and the ability we have in Congress to preserve that funding and preserve those programs," end quote. Denise Miller asked about any hope for bipartisan bills being proposed. Crow said he is committed to bipartisan legislation with bills addressing climate resilience and suicide prevention for military veterans. Crow said nearly three quarters of the bills he has introduced have had Republican co-sponsors. His team realized that all but one of his Republican partners are no longer in office because of the extreme partisan atmosphere. One of Crow's named legislative efforts is the CLEAR Act, which aims to nationalize Colorado's approach to community resilience in response to natural disasters. The bill, co-sponsored with a Republican colleague from California, would help smaller communities develop stronger building codes, zoning policies, and emergency preparedness strategies based on lessons learned from Colorado's recent responses to wildfires and floods. Crow said he also introduced the Veterans Centennial Act with Republican Navy SEAL veteran to address high rates of veteran suicide, particularly. The bill would require the VA to collect and analyze data on veteran suicides at its facilities, helping Congress develop more effective prevention policies. Jamie Coddington asked about the future of the Buckley Space Force Base and the defense innovation ecosystem in Aurora. Crow said Buckley Space Force Base employs more than 10,000 people and serves as a key intelligence and missile detection hub. Buckley played a crucial role in detecting an Iranian missile attack on U.S. troops, allowing them to take cover. Buckley's growing aerospace and defense industry includes 260 businesses and 30,000 employees. As a member of the House Armed Services and Intelligence Committees, Crow said he is pushing for reforms in government contracting to eliminate waste and strengthen Colorado's leadership in defense and aerospace. Quote, "We're going to fight and defend for that," end quote, Crow said about making sure to keep Space Force at Buckley. Janet Gensler asked if anything can be done to overhaul the immigration system that's been broken for decades. Quote, "Anybody who pays attention to this knows that our immigration system is badly broken in every single way," end quote, he said. Quote, "Every way. From border security, which is broken and not working, to the pathway to citizenship, which is similarly absurd," end quote. He said that violent criminals should be taken off the street, and he said he knows of no one who disagrees with that. Otherwise, he said the system should be revamped for law-abiding immigrants to gain work, prosperity, and a path towards citizenship. Quote, 3% a year is our GDP growth. Close to half of that is due to immigration," end quote, he said. Quote, "Imagine the possibilities if we were able to expand lawful avenues for that, for economic growth, and for prosperity for our community," end quote. Crow said he condemned the administration's program of mass deportations, saying they are, quote, "not the reform that's needed," end quote. He said he wanted to work toward a more comprehensive approach to securing the border, providing a pathway to citizenship, and protecting programs like deferred action for childhood arrivals and temporary protective status. Tina Covey asked how veterans can be assured that the veteran health care benefits will not become the next target. Crow said recent Veteran Affairs budget cuts have already affected thousands of employees, including those working on the VA suicide crisis hotline, which risks veterans' lives. He said these cuts cannot be reversed like a corporate restructuring. Government services deal with people's lives, not profits. Quote, "We need to tell the story," end quote, Crow said. Quote, "We need to continue to tell the story because the winds are shifting fast," end quote. He said that Elon Musk's Doge attacks on Medicare and Medicaid could lead to the closure of rural hospitals, and Americans across political lines are realizing the true impact of these cuts. Crow said the Democrats would continue to try to block further rollbacks in Congress. Lula Gilbert asked what advice Crow had for constituents who want to push back. "Citizen engagement and advocacy are crucial to change," Crow said, urging attendees to become involved in oversight, join civic organizations, and assert their rights. Crow also said his constituents can take action by supporting legal advocacy groups, seeking constituent services, and ensuring they know their rights. A, quote, "Citizens Action," end quote, handout was distributed, outlining 5 steps people can take, including recording and reporting abuses, engaging in community discussions, and educating others on their rights. Quote, "Our democracy can't exist, and I can't legislate the scene and do my job unless I have a healthy civic organizations and community organizations where people are actually coming together and talking. Join those community organizations, and if you're a part of it, speak up during the meetings and let people know where you stand," end quote, he said. Quote, "Don't be afraid and don't be intimidated," end quote. Don Barrett asked how people can effectively communicate concerns and expectations with Republican leaders. Crowe said to stay engaged and show up and make sure their voices are heard. He said that public pressure influences policy decisions, and he told his constituents to attend Republican town halls, contact representatives, and maintain a visible presence on critical issues. Quote, don't be afraid, end quote, he said. Quote, I will fight for you, you will fight for me, we will fight together, end quote. Crowe said that the Trump administration and its allies use fear and intimidation tactics, and their power relies on silencing opposition rather than effective governance. He said people must reject fear, stand united, and be forgiving while welcoming others into the movement, even those they may not always agree with, to defend democracy and fight for their community. Quote, I don't do fear, and neither should you, end quote, Crowe declared. Quote, together, we are stronger than they will ever be, end quote. Centennial, Colorado, Metro. Next in store, Aurora looks to boost local businesses to reap more tax revenue. Crime prevention and improved public safety are essential to maintaining a vibrant retail environment. Written by Cassandra Ballard, Centennial staff writer, February 27th, 2025. There are three ads off to the side of the page. Sharing the love. Win free lift tickets. Click to enter. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 to win. Drawings held on Thursdays through March 19th, 2025. Loveland Ski Area. There is a woman in snow attire holding her hands in a heart shape. Second ad. Centennial Spring Forward. Win free lift tickets. Click to enter. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 to win. Drawings held on Thursdays through March 19th, 2025. Loveland Ski Area. There is a person snowboarding with mountains in the background. Third ad. Mountain View Baptist Church. Repent and believe. John 3:16. Be our guest this Sunday. Sunday service, 11 a.m. Century Elementary School, 2500 South Granby Way, Aurora, Colorado. There is blue mountains drawn with an orange sunset in the background. Town Center at Aurora Mall file photo by Gabriel Christus, Aurora Centennial. The image is of the Town Center building with food court signs and a parking lot full of cars. Aurora. Aurora, like many urban Colorado cities, is fueled primarily by sales taxes, and those revenues increasingly aren't meeting the city's demand. Aurora lawmakers studying the budget last month were apprised of a looming budget shortfall next year, with a grim outlook for retail sales taxes increasing on their own. The problem is complex. Retail sales are weak, businesses are closing, and new ones are filling enough vacant storefronts. Competition among the metro area is fierce. All that has prompted Aurora city officials to develop a retail strategy aimed at bolstering the local economy and maintaining a steady stream of sales tax revenue, which currently accounts for 57% of the city's general fund. Quote, just to be clear, we are not waiting for the adoption of the retail strategy. We are already boots on the ground doing work, end quote, said Janine Rostad, Aurora's Director of Planning and Business Development. City budget officials are predicting an $11.5 million shortfall in the city's 2026 estimated budget that must be addressed. While tax hikes and budget cuts are on the table, the city is looking at ways to generate more tax revenue by helping businesses generate more sales. The plan focuses on attracting new high-volume retailers, enhancing existing shopping centers, and getting consumers to dig deeper in their wallets and more often in Aurora. Plans did not identify what the cost of potential programs would be, nor what the return could be in terms of increases sales tax revenues. Quote, retail is important to provide not only shopping, but also gathering spaces, end quote, Rusted said, quoting the Future of Cities, Adapting to Changes in the Retail Landscape, National League of Cities. Quote, in addition to creating jobs and economic vitality, retail provides an essential piece of social infrastructure, end quote. The strategy aims to improve the city's economy and livability by increasing merchant profitability, enhancing shopping centers, and providing engaging shopping experiences. Additionally, Rustad emphasized that the goal is not only to keep shoppers in Aurora, but also to attract outside visitors. With online shopping on the rise, Aurora must compete nationally for retail dollars. Aurora officials outlined key components of the city's involvement in retail. Building relationships between city officials, property owners, and businesses, offering financial incentives to attract new retailers, engaging with local business improvement districts and East Colfax Avenue development associations, providing small business counseling and training, adapting to change retail trends. Sales tax incentives have successfully attracted companies like Nordstrom Rack to Aurora, and the restaurant incentive program has brought new restaurants such as Mason's Dumpling Shop, Lazikaya, and the newly opened Alpaca Chaski Grill. The city is also working with the Havana Business Improvement District and planning a downtown development association for the Colfax Corridor to support neighborhood businesses. Rusted said that the city also offers small business counseling and training through city staff and the Aurora South Metro Small Business Development Center. Rusted said the city retail team plans to study specific shopping centers across the city to identify opportunities for intervention and redevelopment. Factors such as occupancy rates, sales tax revenue per square foot, and tenant mix will guide decision making regarding which areas need urgent attention. Healthy retail centers generate $300 in sales tax revenue per square foot of retail space, according to city officials. Anything below that may indicate economic trouble for the business and ultimately the city. A healthy shopping center occupancy rate is 90 to 95%. Anything below 90% may require intervention, Rustad said. There are numerous locations in Aurora that don't meet those goals, according to city officials. Michael Burity, an urban planning professor at Ball State University and the author of multiple books and studies about revitalizing urban areas, said that Aurora's metrics are all valid factors to understand the, quote, health, end quote, of a retail center. He said that 30% vacancy rate is usually when a shopping area will begin to, quote, spiral, end quote. A strong retail mix is essential. An excess of service-based businesses such as gyms, medical offices, or churches over traditional retail can signal economic decline, Rustad said. The presence of an anchor tenant or a large national retailer is critical for attracting foot traffic in primary retail centers. In recent years, Aurora has lost several strip mall anchor tenants, most recently Big Lots and some Walgreens. Burity said service-based businesses and mixed-use residential units above retail also helped reduce crime rates in areas because it creates constant foot traffic, which can prevent criminal behavior. Center appearance can also affect foot traffic, with signage, lighting visibility, and overall upkeep. This can be affected by management and property ownership. Trish Coat stocks shelves at the new Toys R Us at the Gardens on Havana Shopping Center in Aurora. Marla Arkeon, Aurora Centennial. There is an image above with a woman looking at toys standing in a shopping aisle. City staff has categorized Aurora's retail centers into four classifications. Primary centers, strong anchor tenants, high sales per square foot, and modern upkeep. They draw people in. Shadow areas, small retail hubs located near major shopping centers or big box stores like Home Depot, close to anchors. Micro centers. These are standalone locations targeting niche markets and surrounding communities. Niche locations for targeted communities like Walmart. Secondary centers. Increasingly struggling areas with low consumer traffic and fragmented ownership, varied maintenance or appearance. For more recent studies, Barati said he did not think big box stores were as necessary for foot traffic as long as there were central activities to drive people to a location. He said aspects like ice skating rinks or adding a pickleball court to a strip mall could drive people to the locations and encourage them to shop after. Barati said legacy businesses, long-standing, often family-owned establishments are key to community identity and foot traffic. He said cities need to take proactive measures to prevent closures when younger generations choose not to continue the business. Quote, The other thing to keep in mind with respect to these shopping malls now is that retail is no longer the draw, and so you have to have an experience, end quote, Bharati said. Quote, experience is now the draw. People go to a mall for the experience, and then they stay to do the shopping, end quote. Aurora officials said they make extra efforts to support those legacy businesses. The city works to prevent redevelopment from displacing businesses and collaborates with the Small Business Development Center to assist struggling establishments, offering resources to help them grow and remain in Aurora. After businesses started closing in the old Regatta Plaza Shopping Center at Peoria Street and Parker Road, the city worked with property owners to and raised the depleted center, creating a new plaza, complete with residential units. There is an image above of a building having signs on it saying, "We have moved to 13900 East Florida Avenue, Unit B, Aurora, Colorado, 80012. Challenges facing retailers. Rustad acknowledged the external, operational, and low consumer traffic challenges Aurora's retail centers face. External challenges can include homelessness, crime, and economic factors. Quote, the city has some role to play in homelessness and crime prevention, Rustad said. Quote, we cannot, unfortunately, control the economic factors, end quote. Operational challenges can include poor strip mall management, which leads to poorly maintained parking lots, buildings, and landscaping. There could also be a lack of appropriate lighting or signage for visibility and deteriorating landscape. Rustad said that when the city enforces building and landscape codes, instead of collecting fines, it should consider offering incentives. Quote, tenants may also come together and decide they want to chip in. End quote, Rustad said, mentioning that the city has seen tenants get together to replace bad lighting. Low consumer traffic challenges include a weak tenant mix, poor external marketing, and extensive intervention is often required. Rustad said the Aurora often seeks this third category and much of the second category in secondary centers. Quote, what staff is doing now is coming up with specific implementation tools and a way to rank those tools so that we can come back to business owners in the near future and find out what the city priorities are, end quote, Rustad said. Closed and vandalized storefronts create numerous problems, police say. Marla R. Keown, Aurora Centennial. There's an image of a building that is brown and has pink and black and blue graffiti on front of the windows and the door. Public safety and perception are paramount. Rustad went on to list some general retail strategies they have already looked into for Aurora. Quote, first and foremost, we need to address crime. It is expected from retailers that there is a 2% attrition through retail theft. When it gets to 4%, that's a red flag. Some of the retailers we've lost in the city have seen as high as 7%, end quote, Rustad said. Quote, when crime rates rise and theft becomes excessive, businesses leave, end quote, Rustad said. Quote, we need to address these concerns proactively, end quote. Theft can impact a retailer's decision on whether to remain open, while the presence of homelessness or nearby drug activity may contribute to a sense of insecurity or feeling unsafe, Rustad stated in an email. Naomi Colwell, Aurora Chamber of Commerce CEO, said that many of the businesses she works with also have a problem with crime, or at least the perception of it. She said the East Colfax corridor used to have parades with all of the schools and flower pots lining the streets. It was a lively place where people wanted to hang out and have fun. Mayor Mike Kaufman also said he is actively working to bring the Colfax corridor back to that vibrant place without gentrifying it. While Aurora is often touted as the most diverse city in Colorado, Northwest Aurora is the most diverse part of the city. Caldwell and the Aurora Police Department said they hope that with time, they can get back to having police foot patrol in areas around the city, especially on Colfax in the Art District. Bharati said that the crime or even the perception of crime can deter shoppers. Although most serious crime in Aurora is down, according to Aurora Police Chief Todd Chamberlain and Commander Michael Gaskill, many people don't realize the work the city of Aurora has been doing to reduce crime. Barati said that one city he studied began posting crime rate comparisons to actively show crime declining. It needs to be continuous and persistent. Quote, it's hard to change people's perception, end quote, Barati said. Aurora's overall crime in 2024 declined to numbers below 2020 after a spike in 2022. Theft also spiked from about 7,500 incidents in 2020 to 8,100 incidents in 2022 and back down to 7,300 incidents in 2024. Year to date, year over year, city crime statistics for the beginning of February showed a 9.6% increase in shoplifting reports. Aurora Police and private security can help build on crime reduction, experts say. Rustad said business improvement districts can merge to provide that private security. The best solutions include increased police presence, private security collaborations, and business improvement districts to enhance safety. Visible law enforcement assures most shoppers and acts as a real deterrent to shoplifters, scofflaws, and other criminal behavior. Chance Harucci, executive director for the Havana Business Improvement District, said on Havana has near constant community engagement events where they have the police department attend to allow shoppers and Aurora businesses to engage with the local officers and get to know them on a more personal levels. The Gardens at Havana Shopping Center recently added a police storefront. While officers are not stationed full-time, the storefront creates a place they can stop during the day to potentially bring more police presence to the area. Home delivery boon a bust for local retail? Online shopping is another area that affects local retail businesses, large and small. Whether it is people shopping online for items to pick up at a brick and mortar, or people online shopping to have it delivered to their homes, it does still bring sales tax revenue to the city, but it doesn't build the retail and business community. Quote, I would say that it is going to continue to be the trend, end quote, says Greg Hayes, the budget director for the city of Aurora. Quote, more and more people are shopping online, end quote. Rustad's told the Centennial, it is difficult to identify online sales metrics completely and they cannot be broken out by ward. When it comes to city planners making the city's retail more competitive, the city staff actively works to attract retail and restaurants, talking to developers and retailers, Rustad said. Quote, I like to think of our retail team almost as matchmakers, end quote, Rustad said. Quote, they have access to data of what's available, they know the brokers out there, and they can help center managers, end quote. The city's small business counselors also provide training and incentives, such as restaurant programs, to encourage local entrepreneurs to thrive. Officials are also encouraging existing businesses to expand within Aurora rather than relocate. The loss of Liberty Justice Brewing on East Colfax Avenue to Denver is an example of what the city hopes to prevent in the future. One opportunity officials identified is tailoring retail options to local needs. For example, a convenience store primarily selling alcohol and tobacco products could pivot to providing grocery essentials for nearby residents as new housing developments emerge. City staff are finalizing a comprehensive retail strategy report to strengthen Aurora's economy, stabilize retail centers, and attract new businesses. The report, currently in its final stages, aims to provide council members with detailed insights into citywide demographics, ward-specific retail conditions, and best practices from other cities. Staff are also evaluating funding options and prioritizing redevelopment efforts based on need. The final report is expected to be completed in April with a presentation to the Planning and Economic Development Committee in May and full council approval by June. Council members will receive regular updates, which will be incorporated into community discussions. Rustad said it's important for the city council to give feedback to refine the strategy before finalizing it. There is an image of a strip mall with numerous businesses and a parking lot that is partially full of cars. Retail issues affecting different parts of the city. Ward 1, Northwest Aurora. Ward 1 has $14.6 million in annual sales tax revenue and 3 million square feet of retail space, with a 3% vacancy rate. The median household income in Ward 1 is the lowest in the city at $52,000. Rusted said there needs to be a possible look into getting mixed income to generate the consumer base to support retail. Challenges include low spending per capita and a lack of strong anchor tenants, leading to low consumer traffic. Rusted said it, even getting a grocer in the area would help a lot. Ward 2, Northeast Aurora. Ward 2 has $21.6 million in annual sales tax revenue and 1.3 million square feet of buildable retail space with a 1.5% vacancy rate. The median household income in Ward 2 is relatively high at $89,154. A challenge is that the area is rapidly developing, so the city needs to strategically plan for appropriate retail locations, Rusted said, but the opportunity is developing very rapidly. Ward 3, West Central Aurora. Ward 3 has $37 million in annual sales tax revenue and over 5.2 million square feet of rentable retail space, with a 4.6% vacancy rate. With a high vacancy rate, Rusted said it is something they are already looking into addressing. The median household income in Ward 3 is around $60,713. Challenges include the largely undeveloped city center and the low-performing area surrounding the town center of Aurora Mall, or the Aurora Mall as many call it. Rusted said the underdeveloped city center is also an opportunity because it's the, quote, heart of Ward 3, end quote. I-225 can be an opportunity to bring shoppers into Ward 3. Ward 4, East Central Aurora. Ward 4 has $38 million in annual sales tax revenue and 5.3 million square feet of retail space, with a 2.9% vacancy rate. The median household income in Ward 4 is the lowest in the city at $67,940. Challenges include car dependency in this area, which means people need to get into their cars to serve their needs, Rustad said. Ward 5, Central Aurora. Ward 5 has $24.7 million in annual sales tax revenue and 3.9 million square feet of existing retail space, with a 3% vacancy rate. The median household income in Ward 5 is almost $81,000, the highest in the city. Challenges include older strip centers and micro centers that lack strong anchors. There will probably be future conversations of redevelopment, Rusted said. There are aging and outdated centers that are underperforming. Some centers are also having challenges with access and visibility and need help with signage and other maintenance. Ward 6, Southeast Aurora. Ward 6 has $24.2 million in annual sales tax revenue and 3.1 million square feet of existing retail space, with a 4.5% vacancy rate. The median household income in Ward 6 is the highest in the city at almost $130,000. Quote, this is somewhere we can help through marketing, making sure we are getting strong retail and restaurants that are desirable and will bring people in, end quote, Rustad said. Centennial Citizen Independent, an edition of the Littleton Independent, Volume 24, Issue 12, week of February 20th, 2025. Voices West, a Littleton-based choral group, was a recipient of the Littleton Arts and Culture Grant in the second grant cycle. Photo courtesy of Voices West. There is an image above of a choir group that has three rows performing on a stage. There is an ad at the bottom right of the page, 2025 Best of the Best, Colorado Community Media. Voting starts March 1st. Littleton Art Grants entering third year. Applications are set to open February 28th by Nina Joss, njoss@coloradocommunitymedia.com. Marching band instruments, ballet costumes, and painting supplies are just a few things that have been funded in the recent years by a Littleton program that supports arts and culture initiatives. The Arts and Culture Grant Program, which started in 2023, will open later this month for its third annual grant cycle. The program, funded by the city's 5% lodgers tax on hotels, motels, and short-term rentals, provides grants to support and cultivate arts and culture in Littleton, according to the city. Quote, "These grants help realize our shared vision of Littleton as a community where creativity will thrive," end quote, said Anna Deist, the city's public art administrator. Quote, "I think everyone who lives and works here agrees that arts and culture are a vital part of Littleton's unique character," end quote. Art sits on display at a show in the Depot Art Gallery, which has been a recipient of the Littleton Arts and Culture Grant. Photo courtesy of the Depot Art Gallery. There is an image above showcasing different art and paintings on the wall, as well as vases and other different kinds of art. Art grants. In its first 2 years, the program distributed about $500,000 in grant awards to 93 recipients. The number of recipients more than doubled from 30 to 63 from the first year to second year, Dice said. Quote, "This grant program has proven that our community wants and needs continued investment in the arts," end quote, Dice said. Quote, "We are only able to fund a fraction of requests. Last year, for example, we received about $4 in asks for every $1 we had to spend," end quote. For the upcoming grant cycle, the city adjusted eligibility requirements to narrow the program's focus. Applicants are now required to be registered nonprofits and must provide publicly accessible programming with the designated boundaries of Littleton, Dice said. Groups must also have a minimum of 3 consecutive years in operation, the program's website states. The Littleton Arts and Culture Board reviews applications and makes recommendations to the City Council for disbursement of the funds. Organizations may apply for up to $30,000, and funding may be spent on anything that advances the organization's goals and supports the mission of the promoting the arts in Littleton, the city's website states. The Littleton Independent is among the recipients of the second cycle of funding from the city's Arts and Culture Grant Program. As a matter of policy, funders exercise no control over editorial decisions. The newspaper received a grant from the city to support coverage of arts and culture in Littleton and the South Metro area in honor of Sonia Ellingbo. Ellingbo, a longtime force in Littleton's civic and cultural life, was an arts and culture journalist and columnist until her retirement in late 2023. Her articles regularly appeared in the Littleton Independent, as well as Colorado Community Media's other newspapers in Arapaho and Douglas counties. She was recognized last year with the first ever Arts and Culture Award from Littleton. Ellingbo's daughter, Kirsten Orahood, said her mother was pleased to learn about the Littleton Independent's grant in her name. Quote, "What a wonderful honor for her," end quote, Orahood said. Quote, "That's very exciting. I got goosebumps when you told me about it," end quote. Other recipients of the Arts and Culture Grant in the current cycle include the Alley Arts Studio, the Arapaho Community College Foundation, the Bega Littleton Sister City Exchange Program, Cycling Without Age Littleton, the Littleton Symphony Orchestra, Voices West, Western Welcome Week, and many more organizations. Just over 25% of the revenue from the city's lodgers tax goes towards the Arts and Culture Grant Program, Dice said. Other revenue from the tax goes towards Bemis Public Library, the Littleton Museum, the Town Hall Arts Center, and Hudson Gardens and Event Center, the four, quote, "major cultural institutions," end quote, in the city, as designated by the City Council, Dice said. Some of the funds also go towards the city's communications department and other programs like murals, public art, and other requests. Applications for the Arts and Culture Grant Program will be open from February 28th to April 11th, and funding will be available to recipients in January 2026, according to a fact sheet about the program. More information about the program and how to apply is available at https://tinyurl.com/Littleton Arts Grants. Dice said she encourages anyone who may be on the fence about applying to apply for the grant. Quote, sometimes all it takes is a small investment for a big impact for things to happen, she said. There are three pictures in this article. Sonia Ellingbohn speaks to the audience after receiving the inaugural Arts and Culture Award at the Littleton State of the Arts event in 2025 by Nina Joss. There is an image of an older lady holding a microphone sitting in her wheelchair. The second picture, local painter Lance Green teaches a Heritage Fine Arts Guild workshop in 2014. The Heritage Fine Arts Guild was a recipient of the Littleton Arts and Culture Grant in the second grant cycle. There's an image of local painter Lance standing with a few different colorful paintings as he's talking. The third image. Members of Littleton Police Honor Guard lead the Western Welcome Week Grand Parade on August 17, 2024. Western Welcome Week was a recipient of the Littleton Arts and Culture Grant in the second grant cycle. Photo by Cindy Hathaway. There is an image of Littleton police walking with the flags in a parade down the street. Neighbors of homeless ministry are frustrated. City, nonprofits say they are committed to collaboration. By Elizabeth Slay. eSlay at coloradocommunitymedia.com. Neighbors of the Hub at Movement 5280, a homeless ministry facility at Grant Street and Eastman Avenue in North Englewood, have expressed continued frustration and concern regarding activity around the organization. Recent frustration stems from what the neighbors say is a violation of the Good Neighbor Agreement formed between the Hub and its neighbors in early 2024. The agreement is regularly updated and part of the mediation process that was initially facilitated by the city last year. The mediation process also includes monthly meetings with the Good Neighbor Committee, which consists of representatives from the neighborhood, Movement 5280, and the city. All parties discuss and work to address any concerns or issues. Quote, I live next door to Movement 5280 and serve on the Good Neighbor Committee, end quote, neighbor Allison DeBan said during public comment at a January 21st City Council meeting. Quote, I have worked hard to improve communication and maintain a positive relationship with their staff. Despite my efforts, however, I have significant concerns about 5280 and safety. Primarily due to being misled, huge delays in action, and being flat out ignored. This has led to a loss of faith in the city's current approach. The Hub at Movement 5280 is housed in the former Englewood Bible Church at 3190 South Grant Street, a neighborhood composed of single-family homes. It opened in July 2023. Emails obtained from the Englewood Herald through a Colorado Opens Record Act request to the city and public comments at a January 21st City Council meeting shows that recent issues involving concerns about people sleeping outside the building, coming in and out of the building at hours outside of the ministry's business hours, a lack of communication from staff at 5280, failing to install an outside security camera, open drug use, weather shelter services, and the organization is now providing, and more. Quote, we are fully aware of reports made to police about alleged drug use near our building. However, every single time we have been present when law enforcement arrived, those accusations have been discredited, end quote, Movement 5280 said in an email to Herald on February 6th. Quote, while we cannot control what is reported, we stand by our commitment to running a safe, supportive space for those in need, end quote. Statistics collected from the Englewood Police Department show there has been an increase in calls for service to the Hub. In 2023, there were 26 calls for service to the Hub, which increased to 125 in 2024. 11 reports related specifically to the Movement 5280 were made in 2023, and that increased to 15 in 2024. Quote, calls for service include all calls received by dispatch, including but not limited to all criminal and non-criminal activity reports, medical assistance, 911, non-emergency, officer-initiated call, end quote. Stacy Durbin, community relations manager, said to the Englewood Herald in an email on February 11th, quote, the total calls to service count includes all calls for service to include calls from citizens, as well as officer-initiated activity to include extra patrols, end quote. The organization said it has also received emails from neighbors using satire to express how incompetent they believe Movement 5280 is. Quote, "We are serving those who don't have anyone else to protect or defend them," end quote, Movement 5280 said. Quote, "Every human life is valuable, and the people we serve deserve dignity and respect just like anyone else," end quote. The Good Neighbor Agreement. As part of the mediation efforts, the city hired Alley Cats of Fine Solutions to facilitate the efforts between the hub and its neighbors last year. Chris Hargoth, communication director for Englewood, said the latest version of the Good Neighbor Agreement will be available soon and that it reflects multiple drafts and thorough review by all parties involved. Quote, "As a living document, it will continue to evolve based on constructive decisions within the Good Neighbor Committee," end quote, Hargoth said. Quote, "The mediator uses a tracking document to ensure the updates on agreed-upon actions in the Good Neighbor Committee are recorded and to ensure that progress is being made," end quote. The mediation efforts began following a town hall the city held for the neighbors and the hub in March last year. Hargoth said Kotz began leading meetings between the neighbors, the hub, and the city, and eventually a Good Neighbor Agreement was drafted. Quote, "A final working version was completed in October, followed by a meeting to transition from development of the Good Neighbor Agreement to a Good Neighbor Committee that would meet regularly to ensure that the agreement was being met," end quote, Hargoth said. The committee met for the first time in November. Hargoth said the committee will review the effectiveness of the agreement every 3 months and that meetings are planned through May. Quote, "The agreement and committee provide clear expectations for all parties, outline more than 50 projects and commitments, and create a process for addressing challenges and working towards solutions," end quote, Hargoth said. Movement 5280 said it's participating in the ongoing mediation process. Quote, "There are no formal agreements in place at this time," end quote, the organization said. Quote, "The mediation is meant to foster dialogue and explore potential resolutions, not enforce predetermined requirements," end quote. Hargoth said that this complicated matter, as all parties involved want to address the needs of the unhoused population that extends beyond Englewood. Quote, "There is no simple solution, which is why ongoing collaboration is essential," end quote, Hargoth said. Quote, "The Good Neighbor Committee brings together the city, police service, providers, and neighbors to drive meaningful change through open dialogue and shared decision-making," end quote. Weather shelter services. Last year, Movement 5280 started offering weather shelter services to clients, which neighbors have also expressed concerns about. These services include overnight shelter, food, and case management support to connect people with resources to help them move forward from homelessness. Tim Dodd, Englewood's deputy city manager, said the city received emails in November and December from neighbors voicing their concerns about the weather shelter services, aggravating already existing issues they say they're experiencing with the organization. Quote, "Many of the emails were addressed during a meeting between the city and Movement 5280 in early December 2024, end quote, Dodd said. Quote, "To help address those concerns, the mediator now notifies Good Neighbor Committee members via email on nights when Movement 5280 will provide severe weather sheltering," end quote. Movement 5280 said it began offering the services with the intention to help save lives in extreme weather conditions. Quote, "The reality is that without shelter, people in our community have lost fingers and toes to frostbite," end quote, the organization said. "If Movement 5280's shelter had not been available, it is probable that some of individuals have lost their lives in the cold," end quote. The organization said it takes the concerns about the weather shelter services seriously and has implemented several management measures. Quote, "Guests must adhere to clear shelter rules and behavior expectations," end quote, Movement 5280 said. Quote, "While we already have cameras installed, we are actively securing funds to add more outside cameras for enhanced monitoring. We are also putting up clear signage to set expectations," end quote. Additionally, the organization said it is working closely with police to address those who trespass, fail to follow rules, or who exhibit disruptive behavior. Struggles in Corey's House. In addition to concerns from its neighbors, Movement 5280 said 2024 was a difficult year for the organization financially. Quote, like many nonprofit organizations, we have faced funding and staffing challenges due to shifts in grant funding, end quote, the organization said. Quote, we did not receive several grants we normally depend on, making it harder to sustain previous service levels, end quote. Anders Nelson, public information officer for Arapahoe County, confirmed the county did not give the homeless ministry any additional funding in 2024. Quote, as a result, we lost two full-time staff members, which has impacted operations, end quote, Movement 5280 said. Quote, however, we are actively pursuing new funding opportunities and adjusting our staffing model to continue providing essential services, end quote. Movement 5280 said it's also still in the development phase of Corey's House, a transitional housing initiative for which the organization received a $1.5 million affordable housing grant from Arapahoe County in 2023. Quote, while we have a strong vision for this program, we are working through necessary steps such as securing funding, finalizing plans, and ensuring long-term sustainability before full implementation, end quote, Movement 5280 said. Next steps. Movement 5280 said the mediation process facilitated by the city is ongoing and the organization remains committed to open dialogue and constructive discussions with the community. Quote, we stand in the gap, providing care, connection, and advocacy for those who have been left behind. We are a light in this community, and we will continue to show up for the people who need us the most, end quote, the organization said. Quote, we believe that as a community, we can come together and find solutions instead of division, end quote. Dodd said due to federal and state protections, such as the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act, Inglewood is not able to enforce land use rules that could, quote, significantly restrict religious activities, and courts have been interpreted that pretty broadly to include things like shelters, food programs, and other social services tied to faith-based missions, end quote. Quote, that said, the city is still enforces local laws like building codes, safety regulations, and nuisance ordinances, end quote, Dodd said. Quote, but when it comes to zoning, there are legal limits on what we can regulate. That's why the Good Neighbor Agreement and Good Neighbor Committee are so important. They help set expectations and create a structure for neighbors and Movement 5280 to work through issues together, end quote. Dodd said the city will continue to address concerns of any city code or law violations and will encourage both parties to use the Good Neighbor Agreement and Committee. For more information on the hub at the Movement 5280, visit movement5280.org. There is an image at the top of the article. The hub at the Movement 5280 is housed in the former Inglewood Bible Church at Grant Street and Eastman Avenue in North Inglewood. Photo by Scott Gilbert. It is a large building that has a cross on the front. It is brown brick and a brown roof.